Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Mead. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. Today, I have the honor of introducing Amy Teasdale to the show, all the way from the UK, who is going to walk us through how we can transform our lives and liberate our minds. Amy is a success coach who specializes in working with ambitious female entrepreneurs to help them achieve their next level of success and create the life and business they dream of. For many years, Amy was held back by her own limiting beliefs, which drove her passion for psychology and self-improvement. As a result, she's an expert in personal transformation and thus created a successful online business doing something she loves and living life truly on her own terms. Her unique success, Accelerator Pro Coaching, enables her clients to get out of their own way so that they can achieve greater financial prosperity, freedom, and fulfillment faster than ever before. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on board. I love talking about mindset. I'm actually reading a book now called Mindset, and it talks about fixed mindset versus growth mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great book. I refer to that quite often with my clients because the point of it is basically that, you know, our beliefs become self-fulfilling prophecies, basically. So it's definitely true, I believe.
Yeah, our thoughts become things. You know, what we think about, we become. We can create. Yeah. We can create our life, and we do every day with our thoughts, but we don't actually, we're not mindful of that. A lot of us don't realize we're doing that. So tell the audience about you and your coaching business.
Sure. Okay. So basically, my coaching is kind of founded on this principle that our beliefs do become self-fulfilling prophecies. You know, I kind of had a realization pretty early on in my life that the only thing that made me different to other people who were achieving the kind of things that I wanted to achieve was my own mindset and the way that I thought and the beliefs that I had. And I kind of went about on a personal quest to learn how I could rewrite my mindset and change the way that I thought so that I could achieve the things that I wanted to achieve, basically. And, you know, that's what I've been sort of dedicated to for the last 10 years, basically, learning how exactly we can reprogram our mind and beliefs so that we can achieve the things that we'd love to achieve.
Yeah. Tell us about some of the limiting beliefs that you struggled with.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my biggest ones was around money. So I always used to have beliefs that I don't have money or that I'll never be rich. And that came from the fact that I grew up in a pretty low income family, to be honest. So that was my first experience. You know, I was born into this world where money was scarce, and that became my blueprint for seeing life, basically. And that's one thing that I've managed to override. So I don't experience financial insecurity anymore in the way that I used to. And, you know, created more financial abundance than ever before. So that's one transformation. And then other things as well. I mean, there was one which was that I used to think I could never go traveling by myself. And now I'm a full-time digital nomad, you know, traveling all of the time, basically, often by myself. And then the other big one was believing that I could never run my own business because, again, you know, I was brought up in a very ordinary working class family. And, you know, people like us weren't entrepreneurs. We didn't have businesses. In fact, I was the first person in my family to go to university even. So, you know, running a business always seemed like something that was for other people, not for me. And again, here I am running an online business, a successful online business, doing something that I love. And so those are great examples of how I used to think one way, but have reprogrammed my mind to think another way in order to achieve the things actually that I really wanted to achieve.
I applaud you. That sounds like you did some deep work there.
I did. Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So I know a lot of people struggle with the finance piece of it, right? With the lack mentality, or that mentality that's fixed, you know, like, oh, I can't do it. My family don't have businesses, therefore I should not have businesses. Yeah. So I'm not even going to try. That's what a fixed mindset is, essentially, right? It's just that limited belief, like you give up before you even started.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us how, when you work with your clients and what you had to undergo, tell us what tools you use to help reprogram your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I will quite often do, either with myself or my clients, is I will try to ascertain where a certain belief came from, right? Because we're not born into the world with an existing set of beliefs. We learn everything. You know, so it's not like they're innate. We learn everything. So there was a moment in time when a belief was created. So what is often very useful, it's not necessary, but it's often very useful when we can actually identify when a particular belief was created. And it might not necessarily be one specific moment in time. It's probably a collection of moments in time. So, for example, with my money story, it wasn't necessarily that there was one particular moment, but it was a series of moments or events in childhood where I was in a situation where it was being stressed to me that we didn't have money. So, for example, you know, just things like not being allowed to throw toiletries away until you'd cut the bottle open and scraped every last piece of liquid outside of the bottle, for example, right? Or my mom insisting on going back to the supermarket if she'd been overcharged by 10p, right? So all of these small little events all created this experience of money being scarce. So that's certainly a first step. And then the second step is to actually separate the event that happened from the belief or the meaning that we attach to it. So the way I transformed my money story was by realizing that actually the story that we don't have money was actually just a story, and that was separate from the events that occurred. So, for example, the way my mum lived frugally was just my mom living frugally, but that didn't mean that we didn't have money. It just meant that she prioritized it in certain ways, for example, or that, you know, she wanted to make money last longer. So it was really about me taking responsibility for the belief and realizing that I was the one that had actually created the belief in the first place, and that it wasn't the actual truth. And then when you start to see, that's when you're able to start letting go of the belief and creating a different reality, essentially.
Yeah. And it's like we grew up in the same household.
Yeah. I'm sure many relate.
Yeah. The struggle is real. When you grew up with, my parents were immigrants from Haiti. And so we grew up, you know, we didn't have much. But I can really agree with you with the whole like toothpaste stuff and toiletries. We really had to cut it open and wipe it clean before we can get a new one. And now, you know, that I have more, I'm not wasteful, but I refuse to cut open the empty tube.
Yeah. Well, I actually think it's quite smart. And, you know, it's funny how there are other ways that as a child, I might have seen my mum's behavior as annoying, or like it proves that we don't have much money. But now I actually think of it as pretty smart. And you know, like trying to cut down on plastic bottles, for example, or trying to cut down on waste. I now find myself living in the ways that my mom used to, out of choice, basically, and actually seeing the value and the benefit in it, rather than seeing it as, you know, a lack or I don't have enough or whatever it might be. So
I like that you brought this up, because it goes into habit, right? Because as infant, you say we are not born with these limiting beliefs. And then now you find yourself doing what your mom was doing, but have a different perspective on it. But what happens is, as babies, we are in a beta phase, right? Where we are just designed to download data. That's where the beliefs come from. That's where the core of programming comes from. It's from our parents. It's from our environment. It's from our first organization, which is our family. And then it goes into schools and social construction, all that. We learned this along the way. We've heard some things along the way, but now they don't serve us anymore. We might have heard like, okay, you are not enough. You're not good enough. You can't do this, or we don't have enough money, so don't even try that. And for some of us, it gets stuck. And then we use that program to make decisions the rest of our life. And it's just self-sabotages, sarging behaviors.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly it. You're absolutely right. And I think a lot of people aren't necessarily aware that all of that unconscious downloading has taken place. And that's what it means to raise one's level of consciousness, is to become aware of the unconscious conditioning that we've been subject to, and realizing that we do actually have the conscious power and ability to change our programming. And that's exactly what all of my coaching is about. That's what my own personal transformation has been about. It's been about, how do I change my programming? You know, for example, I realized that a lot of my limiting beliefs that I had, it wasn't just the environment or the experience, but it was because my mom had limiting beliefs and I just kind of inherited her way of seeing the world. She had very low self-confidence, low self-worth. So I hear her saying those things about herself. And as a child, that just became my internal audio as well. And as I said, you know, I've had to learn how to unprogram all of that and program something differently, basically.
Yeah. And I find it for me with the reprogramming is I use a lot of affirmation to actually help the process. What are the processes that you have used and you use with your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a process that's very similar to affirmations, although I don't tend to call it affirmations just because I mean, it depends on what exactly you include in your process. But I have a process that I call declarations. Mm-hmm. And actually, this is the foundation to my Success Accelerator coaching. So the way that it perhaps differs from typical affirmations, it's not just about creating a statement that we want to believe. It's about actually starting with the statement that we want to unbelieve first. So, for example, you know, let's say you want to show up more confidently. Rather than just stating to yourself, I'm confident, and trying to affirm this to yourself, I would start with the belief that I'm not a confident person, or whatever the what I call a non-useful judgment or a non-useful belief. You know, what is it that I really believe about myself that isn't serving me? And that's, like I said, I would then try to look at, well, where did that particular belief come from? Why do I feel that way? And then also forgiving myself and letting that belief go. So I would consciously say to myself, I forgive myself for judging myself as whatever it might be. And then I would then create a new affirmation or something new to believe. And that's when I would then state, oh, I am, you know, whatever type of person that I want to see myself. So, for example, I've got one in front of me. It's like, I am inspiring, for example. And then that would be the declaration that I remind myself of on a daily basis and really see the evidence and the truth in, basically. And over, you know, the more times you do this, the more that just becomes your new default way of seeing things. But I do think it is very important to start by clearing the space first and letting go of the non-useful judgment that is in the way of you actually believing that in the first place.
So I'm hearing a lot of self-forgiving A lot of forgiveness that takes place to make space for new energy, for new thoughts, for new programming to replace the old way of thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is essential. And repetition is key in this process.
Yeah.
Because it is a programming. You think of the subconscious mind, that program, it's like a tape playing over and over and over again, right? We have over 60,000 thoughts a day and 90% of them are negative. But there are also the same thoughts from yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
So there is really the need to repeat, to put in that, to reprogram the subconscious mind is through repetition over and over again and saying those affirmations and forgiving yourself over and over again too, because what has been built up for over 30 years will not happen in 2 hours.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've described it perfectly.
Yeah. So I really thank you for sharing your method and how you do it, because anything that we put after the word I am becomes our reality.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. Tell us, Amy, what's your routine like? What's your discipline like? How do you get up, dress up and show up?
So first of all, I'm committed to waking up after the sun has risen. I don't like waking up in when it's still dark. So I do think it's important that we, you know, honor what feels right for us and what feels good for us. I think some people might feel like the pressure to have to wake up, you know, early. But if that doesn't suit your natural circadian rhythm, then, you know, that's okay. So, yeah, so I wake up. Naturally, I don't use an alarm clock. What I have actually started doing recently is actually using an app which connects to my Spotify playlist. So I'm actually waking up to the sound of my favorite music rather than the sound of a horrible alarm bell or anything like that. So that's a really nice way to wake up. So then I get up and I make a coffee and I read whatever personal growth book I'm reading at the time. So this is one of my top tips, actually, for any habit, whether it be for a morning routine. Like, a good way to install a habit is to collapse habits together. So that's one way that I, you know, make sure that I make the time for reading, basically. Like, I read over my morning coffee, for example, or, you know, I'm also learning Spanish at the moment. So I learn Spanish at the same time as walking to the gym, for example. So that's one little tip to collapse habits together. So yeah, so I'll read and then after that I'll do exercise. So I'm very sort of committed to physical exercise. And then after that, I will start what I call my mindset mastery time. So it's kind of like my mental exercise after the physical exercise, basically. And what that involves is, first of all, I'll meditate for about 10 minutes just to prep my mind and to get my mind nicely settled and calm. And then after that, I start journaling. So I grab my favorite notebook and my favorite pen. And I just start writing, and I use the journaling as a way of exploring whatever is going on in my mind and whatever I'm sort of feeling and experiencing at the time. And specifically, I use it to return my state of being to, you know, my optimum state of being, basically. So I use it to explore whatever might be in my way of feeling and being at my best. And in the process of doing that, I'm able to bring myself back to being at my optimum and my best, basically. So that's what I use, and that's what I do for journaling. And then I'll just sort of close that off by declaring who I am, basically. As you said, you know, anything that comes after the words I am becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I'll use that time when I've just journaled and returned my state of being to my most optimum, most loving state of being, to really declare who I am in this world. And then I'll crack on with my day.
That truly is the best morning routine ever.
Oh, thanks.
It's all encompassing, right? It includes everything. We're talking about physical activity. We're talking about, like, stimulating the mind, reading, and your habit stacking. You know, you're actually forcing a new habit on with an old one that's already in place, like with the process of reading while you're drinking your coffee. You're going to drink your coffee anyway.
Exactly.
Why not do something more stimulating? Now you're feeding your mind.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
In the process. And then you get the physical going. That's, I think that I believe it is the best cup of coffee is to wake, is to exercise in the morning.
If
you don't drink coffee, work out and it will give you that jolt. It will wake you up very fast. And it's crucial because it gives you energy throughout the day. People really think the opposite happens, but.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I actually have, you know, I am fortunate enough, obviously, to work for myself and set my own schedule. And I have a rule, which is that I don't start working or I don't take calls before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And basically the time before that is me time. So my day is kind of structured into three blocks. So there's me time, there's you time, and then there's free time. So the me time comes first. That's everything before 1 o'clock. And then 1 o'clock onwards is the you time, which is the time that I'm working on my business and working with coaching clients and actually serving other people. And then in the evening time, it's free time to do whatever I choose, whether it is more work or a new time or whether there's something else or socializing or whatever. And I do think it is really important that, you know, we do take that me time, basically. You know, I don't see it as selfish that I spend my morning taking care of myself, because it's really me taking care of myself that allows me to be at my best during the you time, basically. You know, if I was to start showing up with clients and I'm in a bit of a bad mood or I'm upset about something or I'm worried about something or, you know, my health is deteriorating, mm-hmm. then that is really, you know, not, that is not a service to the people that I'm working with. So, you know, I really do see it that spending that self-care time is a service to other people as well. It's not just serving yourself.
You really put it very nicely. It really boils down to that.
Yeah.
You do it for you so you can be better to others, so you can show up in the world, so you can show up and be better and serve better and give your best self, because that's what our individual goal, our individual responsibility is, to take care of ourselves so we can be better to others.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it's all about. And that's why they say on the airplane, put your own oxygen mask on first. It's not so that you are taking care of yourself. It's so that if you've got your own oxygen mask on, then you can help other people to put their oxygen mask on if they're struggling, basically.
Now, Amy, as a coach, I can imagine you work with a lot of women that feel guilty about that, because women are supposed are the caretakers. They take care of the home and everyone in it. So tell us, how do you work with them through that?
Yeah, I help them to really see that and also experience the fact that they do show up better for other people when they are taking care of themselves. And, you know, okay, maybe my morning routine, you know, it goes on till 12 or midday or whatever, but it doesn't even need to take that long. Even just half an hour in the morning will still be a greater service to other people and help you to show up at your best self. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, half a day or half a morning or anything like that. It can just be that half an hour or 10 minutes, basically. And I think most people really do get that, to be honest. As soon as they've had that, you know, experience of just taking 10 minutes for themselves or half an hour for themselves or an hour for themselves and feeling the benefit of that and seeing how that makes a difference to how they show up, then they're intrinsically motivated to want to do it for themselves anyway.
Yeah, because we love giving back to others. We're designed to help each other and to help others. Yeah. And I love that you said it can be tailored. You can start small, because that's precisely what I've done, because I speak to successful entrepreneurs and amazing individuals like yourself. And then I realize your robust morning routine is the catapult to your success. It is the reason you're so successful. So what I've done is, after listening to hundreds and hundreds of entrepreneurs, I consolidated the habits that I've heard, the reoccurring habits, and I put all that in an app, right? And I said it's 9 actionable items that can be done in 9 minutes to hack your morning. So
perfect.
You can do it in less than 10 minutes. You do just 1 minute each. You do mountain climbers to elevate your heart rate, do some push-ups to 60 push-ups to elevate your heart rate. You do deep breathing to calm the mind. You know, you read for 1 minute, but it is the gateway drug.
yeah.
to a better lifestyle, to accruing and building towards that 20 minutes, that 30 minutes, that half hour. But at least if you don't have 10 minutes for yourself, you do not have a life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no excuses if you can get it all done in 10 minutes.
Yeah. And as you say, you will want to do more of it, but like the benefits you're going to reap after that first attempt, after that first week, you're going to really love doing it and you'll do more of it. But you got to start somewhere. That's the thing with habits, right? Because the only way you're going to get rid of an old habit is to replace it. There is no elimination because we are habitual creatures. We need habits. Our brain is designed to habits to protect us. You know, it's like learning how to walk the first time. It was through repetition, right? But once it became ingrained, we never had to relearn how to walk. Thank God.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
And so that's a habit that has been formed. Same thing with driving. When we were learning to drive, we were so vigilant. We had both hands on the wheel. It was new. We were alert. We were awake. We were present. And then 3 months after we got our license, we're drinking while we drive. I mean, drinking water, putting make mascara on. You know, we get to our destination. We're like, how the heck did I get here?
Yeah.
Again, autopilot. We've become a habit ingrained in us and allow us to function better and faster. And that's why these habits are, we have to be cognizant on replacing new healthy habits. And the best way to do that is to start with a morning routine. And I love your habit stacking method. If you're already waking up and going to walk the dog, bring out some affirmations with you. Listen to an audio book in the process or jog and get the heart rate up faster. Anything that will gradually introduce something new.
Yeah.
And because these habits are forming without our permission. The habit that you have now, you've created. It's a habit. It's not a good one, but it's one that, because they're being created without our permission. Now we have to be intentional about the new habits.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me, Amy, how can we connect with you? How can people get to know about your services?
Yeah, so the best way at the moment is probably to reach out to me via email. I've actually got a free workbook. It's a free downloadable PDF workbook, which explains and actually takes you through the process that I have used to transform my mindset and to reprogram myself, basically. And that's the declarations process I was explaining earlier. So if anybody wants a copy of that, like I said, it's completely free, then just drop me an email. So my email address is amy@amycteasdale.com. So Amy is spelled A-I-M-E-E, and then at, and then Amy again, C for Charlie, and then Teasdale is teasdale.com. So amy@amycteasdale.com. You just send me an email and I'll send you my free PDF workbook. Alternatively, you can check out my website, amycteasdale.com, and sign up to my newsletter there. My website is currently under reconstruction at the moment, but there is a way to sign up on the homepage. So those are the best ways. Or there's also Instagram as well. I'm on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at next.level.success.coach.
Awesome. I will put that in the show notes for the listeners. Perfect. Thank you so much, Amy, for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Delight.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.